things, forgiveness of sin. And so today we want to focus on forgiveness of sin. As simple as it looks, and as many times as we talk about it, and as many times as we sing about it, you can stand on good authority to say that up until now, many people are struggling with forgiveness of sin. And it is one of the most devastating things that destroys a Christian's faith. As simple as it looks, as simple as it sounds. And then we talk about it a lot. But you know, there are many things we sing about. There are many things we talk about we don't know. Because if you know it, it will work in your life. There are many truths we sing about, talk about, even tell people about that we ourselves do not know. You say, Pastor, but I know it. No. When you know something, it starts working. That's proof you know it. That I sing about forgiveness, talk about forgiveness, doesn't mean I know about forgiveness. The proof that I know about it is the immediate effect and influence it brings in my life. The moment you know the truth starts working for you. So that you went to school to study piloting doesn't mean you know how to pilot until you start flying. When you know how to pilot, you start flying efficiently. Then you can say, I know how to pilot. So the same thing. There are a lot of things, again, let me repeat that, we sing about, talk about, that we don't know. We don't know them. And this is one of them. So we need to pause here and look at it because it is a very, very important subject. I was telling the women about this. It is a very, very important topic. The forgiveness of sins. The testimony that our Lord Jesus Christ gave and that the Holy Spirit also gave about forgiveness of sins and the blood that Jesus shed for it is in Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Shed for many for our sins to be washed away so that we can start a new covenant with God, so we can come into a new relationship with God, for our sins to be washed away. He said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, of the new relationship, of the new privileges, of the new kind of relationship with God, not the old one. A New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, the Holy Spirit testifies to me and you, in whom we have redemption again through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, we have freedom. Through his blood. If you remove the blood, we won't have redemption. If you take away that blood, there won't be redemption. If you take away that blood, there won't be New Testament. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And then the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. To turn them from darkness to light. And from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. Always mentioned. And then inheritance among them which are sanctified, which is set apart, by faith that is in me. The faith we have in Christ Jesus brings us into this benefit of our sins being forgiven and coming into redemption through his blood. And then deliverance from power of Satan and now from darkness. In Acts chapter 13, verse 18, 13 verse 38, Acts 13 verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren. Okay, I can read this one. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you, what? Forgiveness of sins. See, every scripture is bringing it out as a separate thing. As a separate thing. It's preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Verse 39. Verse 39. Okay, verse 39 says, and by him, everyone who believes is what? Justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of what? Moses. You know why it is so? The law of Moses does not have anything that can wash away your sin. Nothing. So you can't be justified by that because your sins will remain. You won't have redemption. We have nothing by the laws of Moses. The laws of Moses and the Old Testament have absolutely nothing that can bring man forgiveness of sin. Nothing. So now he's saying that we cannot be justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Why? Because Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for forgiveness of sins. So that man can now be justified by the blood of Jesus, which in the time of Moses was not available. And then the Holy Spirit went on to say to you and me in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all of this is a gift from God. New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all of this is a gift from who? From God. All this forgiveness is a gift from God who brought us back to himself. Through who? Through Jesus. So who brought you back to himself? Who brought you back to himself? It was God. It was God that brought you and brought me back to himself through Jesus Christ. So the route through which we came was Jesus Christ. If you say, I came here through 280, what you're saying is, it was through 280, I came here. So you say, God brought us back. Say, this is a gift who brought us back to himself through Jesus Christ. And God has given us the task of what? Reconciling people to himself. Now, as simple as this looks, and as many times as we say it, in the consciousness of many, it has not stuck as a reality. Because it's a gift. You know, we're used to trying to do something. We're used to trying to do something. Because we grew up in the culture of obligatory relationships where you scratch my back, I scratch your back. Now this is different. And then we are used to do something because many years of going to church, we have been emphasized on what I do and what you do. We haven't been told sufficiently about what Jesus did and about what God did and about what God is doing. The focus has always been on you and me and do, obey, obedience. Yeah, obedience. But how? So with that focus, Christ goes into, it recedes in my memory. It recedes in my thinking. It recedes in what I'm doing. So all my focus is on me and what I'm doing. Jesus quickly disappears in my scheme, in my thoughts, in my plan. He's somewhere. But he's the one to be in front that I should be focusing on. But now, because my focus is on me, you have to obey this, you have to obey. Which is true, we have to obey them. But Paul said, well, I didn't know how before, so I was frustrated. He said, when I found out, he said, thanks be to God because of Jesus now. So you and I, we grew up in this Christian culture of laws and what to do. And then when we think we are good, we take glory. Because that's what that kind of thing does. You think you are good. And then we begin to judge. Because once you begin to focus on yourself, the day you think you're good, you judge others quickly. Because you have to have somebody to judge. You know? That's what the Pharisees did. Because the Bible says they looked at them, said that they were better than others. So what were they doing? They were judging everybody. And Jesus went somewhere. They said, sir, do you know the type of person you're hanging out with? Why? Because they judge themselves to be good. So because we grew up in this culture of doing, and we never really get the 100%. So we're struggling with this guilt thing that's always there. It's always there. We may not tell people, it's always there. And the devil will come and blow it. And you find that it's devastated the faith of a lot of Christians. Especially when we pray. One of the things that have bothered me for quite, I've been really talking to the Lord quite a lot, is the effectiveness of my own prayer. Not yours, my own. Because we should really look at ourselves critically and go to God and be sincere. The effectiveness of my prayer. Because you know, the prayer that is effective is the one that gets result. He said, the prayer of the righteous makes much power available. One thing I learned from the man that taught me Christianity is that he would go to God to find out where he's missing God. And it helped a lot because he learned from there. So I've been really, really spending time talking to the Lord about this effectiveness of my own personal prayer with God. And so you find that even though we may not know it, it's a subtle thing, but at the back of our mind is this inability to be bold. Inability to be bold. And inability to expect anything from God. Because there is this behind the scene thing that's like, it has to be Pastor Chinedu that will pray. Because I don't have confidence in myself. Brethren, I will tell you the truth of the matter. You need to renew your mind on forgiveness if you want to see your faith, boom, 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 if you want to see God move in your life. It's very critical. Now, because of what doers do now, some people still find it difficult to accept forgiveness as a gift. They find it difficult. But you know, we live by choices. Always live by. You know, I chose to come here. I could choose to go and sleep and say I'm not available. So we live by choices. Sometimes, because of this, our background and our focus on ourselves, like I said, that focus takes Christ far away in my equation with God. Because it's me, and I cry over my sin, I cry over this, I cry over that. And in this, what I'm looking at, what I'm doing, it's not much. Never much. So because of that, some people also choose different options. So they insist that it is by what they do now that forgiveness will come. Yeah. They insist. But the Holy Spirit told us in Romans 11 verse 6 that you cannot mix grace and works. It's either you take this as a free gift of God or you work for it, but you can't combine both of them. So all of us here must be in one camp. We can't be in both of them. So look at what he says in Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no longer what? Of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, then it is no longer grace. Otherwise, walk is no longer work. So you can't walk in grace and works at the same time. It's not possible. But some people think they can, but it's not possible. Again, remember what I was sharing one time, when Jesus was warning us that if you want to bring grace and works, you will rend your faith and rend your life. He said, you don't bring the old and join to what? He said, there will be what? A tear. It will ruin your faith. It will ruin your faith. No. You can't bring grace and works and try to mix it. It doesn't work. The Lord Jesus warned us. He said, see, you see that vessel that contains the wine? If you mix it, he said, the thing will what? Bust. Where are the vessels? It will ruin our faith. I'm telling you, it will ruin your prayer, it will ruin everything, even your fellowship with God. And you get confused about hearing God and stuff that we shouldn't be confused about. So we need to make a choice, make a determination that the gift of God is the gift of God. And if his gift is grace, and I have to accept it like that. Or you want to work yourself out and prove to God you are good enough, choose that path. But you can't mix both of them. But if you reject the gift of forgiveness and think it's so simple and think, so what am I supposed to do? No, you don't have anything to wash away your sins. Nothing. It's only the blood. So what am I supposed to do? Zero. It's without the blood, there's no. So what are you supposed to do? Except go accept what the blood did. The only thing that takes care of my sin and your sin is that blood of Calvary. Nothing else. Absolutely not. That your cry from now till Monday will wash it away. That your sulk won't wash it away. That your fasting won't wash it away. That your started sitting at the back won't wash it away. That is nothing wash it away. And so before we make our choices, let us see what the Holy Spirit wrote to us in Galatians 5:4. Christ is become of no effect. Galatians 5:4. I'm reading King James Version. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by what? By the law. He said, the cross and Jesus, we have no effect whatsoever upon my life or upon your life, if your choice is, you think that is what you do, that will bring you justification, acceptance before God. He said, then the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did will be not of no effect, because by choice, he said, I don't want this one. I want this one. And then he continued, he says, you are falling from what? Grace. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. But as I'm telling you, it's still a struggle for too many people. Too many people. Still a struggle. Too many people. They don't seem to see the severity of this kind of thing. That the Spirit of God says, if you want to be justified by the law, then Jesus Christ and the cross have no effect on your life at all. At all. So how will you pray by faith? When you rejected the grace of God, rejected the author of faith, how will your prayer work? I want to know. If you've fallen from grace, how will your prayer work? How will it work? Now look at Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by what? I didn't hear you. Therefore, being justified by what? Now, put your finger there. Remember what the Holy Spirit just said. If you want to be justified by the law, then Christ profits you zero. Forgiveness, you don't get. The blood is not working for you. So, but he says, therefore, now being justified by faith is different from being justified by the law. They are not the same. If you want to be justified by what you do, you are welcome to do that. If you want to be justified by faith alone, then he says you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Am I communicating to you? Yeah. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make a statement, please. I want you to listen to me. God himself, not anybody else, is the one that provided Jesus for us as a way to come to him. Remember what we said, that God was the one that drew us to himself through Christ. God's 280 to come is Christ Jesus. So it was God that provided Jesus and the blood. So behold the Lamb of God that taketh away sins of the world. So now the scripture says that God made a new and living way through which we can now come to him, through which we can now communicate with him. And there is no other way you can do that. My brothers and sisters, let's determine to follow the Bible. Don't follow your feelings. Don't follow popular opinion. They are worthless when it comes to God. Follow God's Bible. You will find God. God says that by wisdom, the world will never find me, so that I will make foolish all their wisdom. So he said, I've decided to use foolish things to save the world. So God gave us Jesus. He prepared this way. God's 280. No, 280 is small. Turnpike. God's turnpike. Is turnpike the biggest road in this country? I think it's the largest road. Huh? Is there any other road bigger than turnpike? Why am I asking you? Don't even go outside New Jersey. Why am I asking? There's not that bigger road. That's not low. I think turnpike is the biggest American road. It goes from Florida to, I-95. Huh? So we don't have any bigger road. Okay, so for purpose of illustration only, I'm not trying to belittle Jesus by, no. I'm just trying to illustrate that now. So that God's, quote-unquote, turnpike through which you come to him is the blood of Jesus. Is Jesus himself. The name of Jesus. There is no other way to come there. And Jesus himself said, nobody cometh to my Father except by me. But after saying all of this, we still struggle with it. We still struggle with it. Look at Ephesians 2:13. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect. Why? Can somebody tell me? Why? The law made nothing what? So why? Why? Why is it that no one can be justified by the law? I just said it. The law has no provision to take away your sins. Zero. So you can't be perfect. Apart from all the fault the law has, because the law is simply written letter. It's not alive. The Holy Spirit said it is letters that is written. It's letters. And he says it's the minister of death. Because it's letters. It can't give life. But the New Testament brought us life, brought us spirit. Jesus said the spirit gives what? Life. It brought us Christ to give us new life, to give us ability to do things. So you can't compare the law and Christ, who gives you life, who changes you, gives you ability, makes you wise. The law can't give you life, can't give you energy. You can't say, I can do all things through the law of Moses. You can't. Am I communicating to you? So apart from all the, even God himself said, finding fault with it, God said, I need to change this thing. But the main thing is that the law has no provision to take away our sins. If you know, tell me which one. He said the blood of bulls and animals cannot take away sins until Christ came. So you can't be justified by the law. Because under the law, there's nothing that washes away our sins. Zero. Absolutely zero. You see why Jesus is the focus of the New Testament? You see why, if you preach it correctly, you should point people to him, not to the law. Point people to him. So the law makes nothing perfect. So what is it that makes people perfect now? But the bringing in of a better hope did. He said God brought in a better hope that made us perfect. Bringing of a better hope did. By which we draw what? Nigh unto God. So what is this better hope that the scripture is talking about? Let me see the next verse. Let me see what the next verse says there before I leave it. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2:13. Sorry, Hebrews 10:19, not Ephesians. Hebrews 10:19. Let's see the new way that makes you perfect, the new way that God made for you and me to come. Hebrews 10:19. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter where? Through which means? So this is the new and living way that God has created. This is what washes away our sin. He said we go boldly into the holiest through the blood, because that's the only thing that cleanses me and makes me perfect. That's the only thing that cleanses me and makes me perfect. Let me repeat it. That's the only thing that cleanses me and makes me acceptable. The blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. Say it loud, that the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that cleanses me, you and me, and makes me acceptable. Read it again. Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter into the holiest by. That's the only thing, because this blood secured our forgiveness. Forgiveness is key to boldness in prayer. It's humility. It's total humility to humble yourself before God and accept mercy. Total humility. To accept forgiveness through the blood. Complete yieldedness. Look at Ephesians 2:13. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. I'm reading New Living Translation. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were, where were you? Far away from God. But now you have been brought near to him. How were you brought near? Through the blood of Jesus, the new and living way, the new and living way, through the blood of Jesus that provided forgiveness for you. The next verse. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles in one people. Then when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. In 17, go to verse 17. Go to verse 17. Somebody shout hallelujah. Go to verse 17. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. 18. Now, all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit. Why can we come to the Father? Because of what Christ has done for us. He shed his blood. So now, you Gentiles are no longer what? Strangers. So when you go to pray, you are not a stranger. You know, I have somebody, a relation, that is related to, it's related to, it's not related to me. You know what I'm saying? It's their relation. The wife told him to pray. He said to the wife, he said, if they hear my voice, will they not say who is this? So he said to the wife, they know you because you are the one going to fellowship every day. So they would think I'm a stranger. So you better pray because your voice is familiar up there. He said, you want to put me in trouble? You want me to pray? So they say, who is this person? You know, that's the way we think. Oh, I'm not joking. That's the way many people think. That's why we think, I prefer brothers and sisters to pray for me. Oh, I'm waiting to see God. I'll take God to one corner and say, God, please pray for me. We pray for one another. There's no doubt about it. But we pray for one another when you're overwhelmed, really. But the normal run of life is that you're not a stranger. You're not a stranger. I'm not a stranger. And if we're no strangers, you go to your daddy, you go boldly because of what Jesus has done. Does it make sense? Yeah, you're not a stranger. He said, we are no more strangers. We are not foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's what? Family. Now, when you go to Nigeria or go to Cameroon or go to Ghana, which is your country, you have their passport, right? When you come to the passport destiny, do you come boldly or do you come timidly? Why do you come boldly? You have the citizenship destiny. Even one time I went to Nigeria, the man in front had expired passport. So they took him aside. And they said, okay, do you want it official or unofficial? So anyone you choose, we do for you. So they saw me looking. They said, okay, let's enter into somewhere. So they entered into somewhere and did it unofficial. You know what I mean? Even he had boldness with expired passport. They said, okay, do you want official or unofficial? So any way you want, we do it here. they saw me watching, so they didn't like me watching. So they took the man inside one. What I'm trying to say is, even a man with a spare passport, my brethren, had audacity to come to his country and bring out, I say, it's expired. He had the audacity. That's the boldness that knowing these things can give to you and I, that we have the passport, brethren. We are not strangers. We are not what? Strangers. Nobody's going to say, who is that voice? No, we are not strangers. And we are not foreigners. Can I hear amen? Let's read 19 together. Let's read it. So now, you Gentiles are what? No longer. I didn't hear you. Let's start afresh. So now, are no longer strangers. You are no longer foreigners. You are what? Citizens, along with all God's holy people. You are members. Members. And members go timidly. Even my little Amara Chukwu, my granddaughter, when Amara started going to school, and then we were dropping her off because the school was near my house. Amara will come back from school, greet us, and sit down for her lunch. And we'll be taking her photograph in the new uniform. She will push us aside, bring the table for food, and sit down. And grandma will start running around. Because what she said, take your camera away, I want to eat. Grandma will start running to bring, you know, grandma, I want this. The point is, the boldness is, this is my home. Food is what I She didn't have to beg for it. Immediately she sat down, we knew. She wanted to eat. And because it is her right to eat, grandma was busy. Running all over the warming this, doing this, do you want this? They never gave me that kind of service. I'm sorry, you do. So what I'm trying to emphasize is, we need to, look, it's not just talking about these things. You can talk about it and may not know it, may not accept it. Because if you accept it, your attitude in going to pray will change. Then faith will come. Boldness will come. Expectation will come. You know, there are many things we teach and we talk about, including me. I don't exclude myself. I'm learning along. There are many things as we teach, we are learning, all of us are learning. But when I go, I still struggle with it. It's time to ask God to open my eyes. Because this will change my, this will transform my prayer and make it so powerful. Because without faith, you can't get anything. Praise the Lord. So the Jews didn't, people who didn't want to believe the new and living way that God has made, people who don't want to believe that they are not strangers, that they think they are strangers, they need a particular man to do this. Look, there are giftings that God gives people, though. I understand that. But let me talk to us a few minutes. Listen to me. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not the way a Christian is recommended to live his life. Read your Bible. He didn't say the just shall live by gifts. He said the just shall live what? By faith, not by gifts. God didn't give us the gift, so we live by it. Because all things are possible to him that you don't need the gift. All things are possible. And God wants us to know him personally through our experience, by our faith. You know, we begin to know him more and more, more and more, more and more. There's no, we were told to be rooted and grounded in him so that our faith will be rooted. Because it's our faith the enemy is attacking all the time. To discourage you, to make you lose confidence in God. That's what he's attacking all the time. Now, gifts do operate, but they don't operate the way we want it. You can't operate the gift of God because you are not the one doing it. It is what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. And if he's the one doing it, then he does it when he wants. Now, nobody has the power of God. If you have the power of God, you can give it to people. But you can't. Because the scripture says power belongeth to who? To God. So it doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. You know, we like to ascribe things to human beings and worship men very easily instead of worshiping God. And that's why men bamboozle people with those kind of stuff. Every time God uses a man, we start talking about the man, ascribing glory to the man. And the man accepts it and his. We stop seeing God as the one that did. Let me ask you a question. Where have you seen any man heal a man? Except the Lord builds. Those that are building are wasting time. God is the healer through people. But the man is not the healer. It's God. So if God uses daddy to heal my brother here, I'm not going to talk about him. I'm going to talk about, wow, look at how powerful God is. But easily. We start at ascribing the glory, talking about the man, man, do you know about the, I don't know, I don't want to know. Paul said, I will not talk of anything except what Christ has done. Christ has done through me. It's Christ that, if Jesus himself said, he said, it is the Father in me that is what? Do you know this will? So he's always giving the glory to the Father, giving the glory to the Father, giving the glory to the Father. Gift of the Spirit, God didn't give it to the church for the church to grow with. You can't grow with it. You grow with knowledge. You don't grow with gifts. You be a baby. No. And there's no place we were taught the main thing we seek is to know God now, is to know Christ and him crucified, so we can preach him to people. But you leave the gifts to the Holy Spirit to use. And that's why once you start trying to make the gifts happen, you start producing fake, and the devils will help you. You know you can produce miracles that's not of God. Because the Bible said it. They called it lying wonders. A lot. You know? So we should understand that the scripture is teaching us how to live by faith. The one by faith is what you can learn and live by and get the same things that the Holy Spirit could give by gift. And gift works. Lord, I don't go there. Yeah. I'll leave that one out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, the Jews refused to accept this thing. People who refuse to accept the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, they stumble. You know, when the scripture talks about stumbling over the rock, who is the rock? When the scripture talks about stumbling over and falling, it means just one thing, not accepting what Christ offers. That is stumbling. And it says, when you don't accept what he offers, you will fall. You're not going to stand. You can't stand. It's not going to happen. So stumbling over the rock is rejecting the rock because you think you have something better. So the rock has become a source of offense because you don't accept it. It becomes a source of... Don't you sit in church and see people who are angry because you talk about grace of God? They are really angry. Furiously angry. So the Holy Spirit adequately said, Jesus is the rock of offense. It will make people offend them. He said they will fall. They will not accept him. They will not accept all these things. I mean, they come to church. They want works, but they come to church. And every service, they say, let us share the grace. And they're offended by it. You see, there are a lot of things we say we don't know. Otherwise, how can you be sharing the grace every Sunday, every meal you eat, every prayer, every fellowship, we share the grace and you're offended by the same thing? You know. So look at the example of the Jews who rejected this thing. Romans 9:30. What does all this mean? Remember, this is written by the Spirit of God. Even though the Gentiles, New Living Translation, even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God. And it was by faith that this took place. Now, but the people of Israel now, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by simply trusting in him. I introduced something that I didn't go further to talk about. If I have opportunity, I'll talk about it. The New Testament obedience is not obedience of the law. It's obedience of faith. Because it is through faith you access all the power of God. Power to live, power to resist, power to overcome. It's through faith you access that power that will keep you, that will teach you the activities of the Holy Spirit. It's through faith you access all of them and they begin to work in your life. That's how it happens. It's through faith you access all of them, all the graces of God that makes you partaker of divine nature. It's through faith that you access them and that nature is working and that nature is working. It's not by obedience of the law. It's through faith you access them. So now, they wanted to be right with God, but they neglected faith in Christ. And the Bible says, why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law. Instead of by trusting him. The just shall live by faith, by simply trusting him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. The next verse. God warned them of this in the scripture when he said, I'm placing a stone in what? Jerusalem. That makes people stumble. A rock that makes them fall. But anyone who now trusts what? In him, we will never be. So all that God wants is you trusting him. If you don't rely on him alone, you will stumble and you will fall. You can't stand. You can't stand. You can't stand against the flesh. You can't stand against anything. It's not going to happen. Where are you getting the strength to stand? Is it not that we can do all things only through the strength that Christ supplied? But now you stumble over him. You don't want to trust him. You stumble over him. Where is the strength coming? Now, Hebrews 10:22. Am I communicating? Okay, Hebrews 10:22. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere heart, fully trusting him. Fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. He said, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere heart, fully trusting him. What does he mean, fully trusting him? For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with what? Christ's blood to make us. The law makes nothing clean, but the bringing in of a new hope, the blood, is what makes you clean. Church, accept this thing. Don't stumble across. You will fall. If you stumble, you're going to fall. It makes us clean. And our bodies have been washed with what? Pure water. When you read this, what it's talking about, you know, in the Old Testament, remember that these writers are just coming out of the Old Testament. Remember in the Old Testament, they had all these washings of water and everything. So it's saying that this blood cleanses you and takes care of all those washings. You don't need them again. So it's the same thing. I mean, takes care. You don't have to wash again. So you don't have to go to use water, you know, like some people do. They use water to wash. And in the Jews had these washings of this, washings of that. So he's saying, this blood has made us clean, taking care of all those washings washed by pure water. You don't have to go and do it anymore. This is all that you need, the blood of Jesus. You don't have to stumble. You don't have to stumble. You need to accept the washing and the cleansing and the forgiveness it gives you. It sprinkles your guilty conscience. It cleanses up. It gives you clean conscience to be able to go to God boldly. And let me say something. Without a good conscience, you will never have faith. I don't care how you try. And the only thing that will give you that good conscience is the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. There's nothing that produces good conscience for a man like the blood of Jesus. Let's go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully. Only two people said it. Fully what? For our what? Guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Now, if we don't accept this, look at Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews 3:13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, Hebrews 3:13. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of us will be deceived by sin hardened against God. Give me the New Living Translation. I mean, King James Version. Oh, sorry. Hebrews 3:12. You gave me 13. Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? What does it do? It takes you away from God. Because you will reject, see something. I want you to look up here. Let me show something. If this is where I'm supposed to be with God, if I reject God, you know what I do? The more I reject God, you know what I do? The more I reject God, you know what I do? And the last day, those people that reject God will fall into bottomless pit. They'll still be running away from God. Bottomless. That rejection of God, they will fall. It's a bottomless rejection. There's no end to their falling away from God. So he said, evil heart of unbelief is a heart that does not agree with God. You don't believe what God is saying. So you disagree. Two can't walk together. So it makes you depart, separate fellowship. It causes evil because you are arguing with God. I say what you're saying is not true. And yet it's God that provided you this thing. So he said, we should take heed. Let there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, like I said before, only the blood of Jesus can give any man a good conscience, enough to produce faith and confidence before God. Remember the scripture we read before, that our guilty consciences have been sprinkled and cleaned with the blood? Now, Hebrews 9:13. I will read all the way to 15. Hebrews 9:13 to 15. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurities. Verse 14. Now, just think how much more. Everybody say, how much more? He said, think how much more the blood of Christ will purify what? Our conscience. Remember, he said that our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with the blood to clean it. Why? Because the blood washes away our sins. That's forgiveness for us. And he says, how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can now do what? Worship the living God. For by the power of eternal spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. How much more can we worship God with the knowing that the blood of Jesus brought us forgiveness so that our conscience is clean? The thing that will give you a purified conscience is to believe in the power of the blood. Again, let me ask a simple question. Do you know anything that will wash your, make you acceptable to God except the blood that washes your sins? Nothing else. So you see, Christians have struggled. But the Holy Spirit said, if you don't accept this, you will fall. Just your faith will fall, will be weak. Conscience will be messed up. Things you are doing will be weak. And when you pray, you can't come boldly because your faith is weak. Your conscience is weakened. Praise the Lord. If you are sleeping, shout hallelujah. You are welcome. I want you to ask me questions. Are you struggling with this thing? Eh? Can you ask me questions? Or ask us questions? Ask anybody can answer. Do you have questions? I want to ask you my own question. What is the answer to guilty conscience? What is the answer to the conscience of a man? Because our conscience is always finding what we do wrong. I mean, come on. Are we not living on this world? We're always... So we have all this continuous... So what is it that makes me come boldly before God? Because of blood. Because of what? The blood of Jesus. Because of what? Blood. So the Bible says, you can come boldly. You can come boldly. Your guilty conscience has been cleansed with the blood. Jesus said, you are sanctified by faith in me. If you trust that I died for your sins, it will go into effect immediately. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise up. I want to invite Pastor Victor. I want us to do a 1 minute or 2 minutes worship and thank God for the blood that cleansed us. That cleansed us. The blood that cleansed us. The boldness we have. 1 minute or two. I don't know if songs, Pastor, you know better than it.
continue to worship him for what the power of the blood did for you. See that blood still flowing. That is, he's still alive for you and I. See the blood still flowing, because that will cause you to know and to remember the power in it. It's still flowing. Still flowing, still flowing. That is for you and for me. It reaches to the highest mountain. You can pull it up. And as you're singing it, I want you to see it. And as you see the blood still flowing, see the power still releasing upon you. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. That blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Open your eyes one second. Take a look at what you're singing. Because I told you before, the blood is still flowing. That is, it's still providing strength for you. It reaches to the highest mountain, it flows to the lowest valley. That is the blood that gives you strength once in a week.